Okay, back in studio, real, the first, the original Fish and Frank's Fishing Report, the area Fishing Report here, and I don't know, this dial is getting really weird, you know, but if you saw that gunk build up on that knob, you'd be shocked it's even working. There we go. All right, anyway, Fish and Frank here, Robert in the chair across from me. We got Captain Morris in the guest seat. Okay, if I can get Frank to quit playing the guitar there. All right. Oh, you know what? I'm kind of goofy. I never even brought up the fishing report. We were just talking about how far out the red tide was going. Now, there is absolutely no red tide in Charlotte Harbor itself from Cape Hayes North.
That's correct.
In the upper harbor. But there is... once you get out around, let's say, Bull Bay, out into Gasparilla Sound, Pine Island Sound, it's getting pretty bad out there, isn't it?
Yeah, the last couple of weeks have been bad out there. A lot of dead fish, all species, a lot of dead marine mammals and reptiles and, you know, about everything and a lot of, you know...
But it's not uncommon for manatees to die in a red tide.
No.
Because they eat the vegetation that has a lot of red tide in it. And once they eat that vegetation, they're getting it inside of their system. It's a whole different ball game than, say, an animal that's, you know, on land.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're in it. They're
they
breathing,
can't get out of it.
They're breathing air that's 2 inches off the water. So that makes the whole thing a whole different story, doesn't it, Robert?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's... But it does speak volumes with the spread of it and some of the concentrations of it. Because like we've said, there's a lot of scattered pockets of it. And some of them are mild, some of them are super intense. And, you know, sometimes red tide is just literally right at the surface. And sometimes it's a bloom that goes down 15, 20, 30 feet in some instances, even without being wind driven. So... The way you can tell how intense some of the areas it has been is not just the manatees, the fish are the obvious one, but we've had more sea turtles this year than in previous red tides.
But are jellyfish filter feeders?
Yeah, they eat plankton.
Okay, so jellyfish being filter feeders, and from what I understand...
Oh, no, I get it. They're ingesting it, but it just tells you how toxic of a bloom it is in certain areas where...
Yeah, but I'm just saying a lot of the red tide effect, because they're eating jellyfish that have ingested red tide, and it becomes concentrated inside those jellyfish the way if a human was to eat an oyster or a clam or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You ate a dozen of those where they've been filtering red tide for a while, you're going to be sick if not dead.
Just one of those would do you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just one of those unusual things. It's reinforcing what both you guys are saying. That's just the only unusual, more so event of it. Tells you just how widespread it is when you see it, you know, in little concentrated areas where it normally is. You're lucky or unlucky if you see one turtle. But because of it being basically from Sarasota down to now Fort Myers Beach.
And now what we're wondering about is what's causing this. Now, a couple schools of thought, possibly there's a sawdust algae. And when that sawdust algae, and it was in big bloom for a while, that sawdust algae, as it decays, it's the perfect fertilizer for red tide. That's one possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other possibility is red tide kills a lot of fish. Dead fish are good fertilizer for red tide. So as the first one killed fish, that fertilized the second bloom, and as more fish die,
it's motion going.
Been perpetual. And it could be a combination of the sawdust algae, the red tide, the sawdust algae and the dead fish from some of the initial blooms. Or it could be that somebody's dumping something in the water north of us. Now, we're hearing stories of sewage treatment plants dumping stuff, excess into things that flow into the Gulf. We're hearing, right now, the rumor mill's going crazy.
Right. There's a whole lot of theories.
There's a whole bunch of scuttlebutt.
There's not one definitive reason, though, at the moment.
but the dumbest thing anybody's going to come out of their mouth is that the Coosatchee is causing red tide in Venice and up there. That is the stupidest thing someone can say. Nothing flows up current. If you throw something in a river, but if you throw something in a river, it goes down current. It doesn't go from you up current. And the current there goes north to south. So leave the Coosatchee out of this one. Blue-green algae, okay, that's a Coosatchee issue. The red tide, this is not a Coosatchee issue.
Exactly.
Now, speaking of rivers and stuff, let's segment right into anything up on the Peace River right now.
Well, there has been a few tarpon spotted up there. Nobody's caught any, but a few tarpon spotting them. You need to go check out the height of the river.
Yeah.
Because I know Thursday
I'm
it
just
really hit
pretty
high.
Rapid flow up there.
Well, it's been one of the,
it's probably on the
highest levels since the 40s for this time of year. And I'm trying to get my computer to, I forgot to have the page open. There we go.
My guess is since Thursday, it's probably on the downward slope.
Nope, it is not. It started out on July 28th at 8 foot. By the 31st, it was at 12, and 11 foot is flood stage. It's steady at 12. It's been today, yesterday, the day before, and the day before at 12.
Okay.
That's weird.
Yesterday, right. We had about a 4 or 5 inch rain, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally solid at 12. We've got 4,710. Now, that's weird because now in 1960, there was 17,400 cubic feet per second. We're at 47, so 5, 10, 15. It was over 3 times as much water in 1960 as there is coming down the river today.
Hurricane Donna.
Must have been Hurricane Donna because the average is about 1,200. Or 2,000 gallons. So we're literally more than twice normal flow rate on the Peace River. The reason that's important is what it's going to tell you, boys and girls, is how far up the red tide can come in the harbor. Virtually impossible at this point for red tide to come north of Cape Hayes.
That's
just
the shield, the freshwater.
Yeah.
Another great thing over the next several days is we got a predominantly east-southeast wind, which will help push more of it offshore and help keep it at bay regardless of what the tides do.
And, so, you know, we're talking a lot about red tide, and you're going to see things posted on social media, and you're going to see things in the newspaper and on the news, you know, television news. And a lot of this stuff is, you know, it's a little blown out of proportion.
It's agenda-driven news. We have agenda-driven politics. We have agenda-driven news. If you're watching, Mark Twain said it the best 100-some years ago when he said, if you don't pay attention to the media, you're uninformed. If you pay attention to the media, you're misinformed.
That's right.
And right now, pick any major news network and you're misinformed. They're either really biased towards this or really biased towards that. And the worst thing about it is they need you to be upset about stuff to get you to tune in.
That's it.
So it's all about ratings and clicks, and the more horrific they can make it, the better off it is. This is by no means the worst red tide we've had, and that's unfortunate, but highly true. What's up? Oh, cool. All right, thank you. I have skin cancer, and Morris was just helping me get some stuff together on it, so... yeah, you know, that's what I get for, you know, I've spent 60 years going out in the sun and I hate sunscreen, so I've never used it. And, so now I got skin cancer, so add it to the list.
Right.
So if you see me with the big red thing on my nose, that was where they took the chunk out to see if it was cancer. All right. I-75, what's going on there?
Honestly, I haven't had any report there at all this week.
Anything more?
Neither have I.
Yeah, I got nothing. So... out of the three of us, not much. All right, 41 Bridge.
41 Bridge, I've had a couple different reports. There's been some black drum there of assorted sizes from 10-pounders up to 30 pounds. A few tarpon rolling around, mostly juveniles at first light in the morning with a couple adults here and there. And then there's been a whole lot of peanut snook, but a couple of guys have been going out there really late at night, like after midnight and fishing. And catching some 20-25 pound fish.
There you go. You're still there.
Yeah. Yeah. So there has been some activity there.
All right. Anything more?
Now, on the Peace River Bridge, there have been some fellows that are fishing down there and are catching those drum, and those drum are basically, you know, our game fish for this time of year over the crab. You can fish that crab down there and catch those. There's also some glass minnows hanging around. I've noticed that, you know, there's some ladyfish and mackerel that are kind of filtering from mid-harbor back and forth.
That's up towards the 41 Bridge, you're seeing that. Yep. Okay.
There's a lot of ladyfish still. You know, there's big herds of them, you know, as we get on out to the next section we'll talk about. But, they're in there. And I've noticed a few tarpon rolling and things like that. So there's life.
Actually some good possibility of having some fun there.
Absolutely.
Doing some ladyfish, dropping a big crab down for a 30 to 60 pounder. So you can have some good fun there.
Oh, you can get towed around by those big drum there. That's for sure.
All right. Well, so we got a little bit of positive news here. Probably the only news you're ever going to get positive about anything right now. It's sad. But to be quite honest, boys and girls, we're thinking of expanding our store. We're thinking about making Fish and Frank's bigger. So if the fishing was that bad and the world was ending, would I be thinking about doubling the size of the store? This should be a very real spectrum for you guys. While you're listening to this, thinking about it, there's a very good chance that sometime this fall, we are going to double the size of Fish and Frank's.
You're a little nuts, but you're not totally crazy and stupid.
Well, I'm nuts, but I'm not stupid. Mm-hmm. I'm insane, but I'm not stupid.
I think we've got a three-way agreement on that.
I have a lot of issues mentally.
You think?
I have a lot of things that maybe I could do differently.
Yeah, but still, the idea and the prospect of it speaks volumes of really what our
environment has. Why would I even be considering doubling the store?
No.
Spending, you know, $80,000 to $100,000 on merchandise, all this other stuff.
Well, you may not like sunblock, but you always wear a hat, so you didn't boil your brain.
That's true.
Well, not from the top, anyway.
I did live through the 70s. There's this percolation thing. All right. Oh, thank God I got my captain's license. I had to clean up, you know, 30 years ago. All right. Lashley Pier, what's going on?
Just been some peanut snook during the daytime. There's been a lot of little baby mangrove snapper, a couple of small jewfish, and some of the ladyfish coming and going through there, too. Hasn't been gangbusters, but if you just want to have a good time and bend the rod, use a tiny hook and a little piece of shrimp and, you know, sand bream are possible. The mangrove snapper are there. You know, if you just want to take a kid fishing and have a good time for even a little bit, fish right there and have a good time with that. And if they get bored or hot, go over and play in the park in the fountain.
I actually had some folks from out of town, and they had a couple kids with them, like 10, 11-year-old. And they wanted to go catch some fish. Where can we go catch some fish? We don't have a boat. Let's, you know, we want to have some action. Send them to the pier. And that's the Lashley Pier. They bought some frozen shrimp and a few dozen live ones. And they went over there and they sent me pictures back because I gave them my card for freshwater fishing. And they texted me pictures back of a big catfish that they caught. The kids had a ball reeling in the catfish, a couple ladyfish caught there, and one snapper. So they had a blast.
Nice.
And they bent rods and they were perfectly happy catching what they caught there. So there is an option.
It's
there.
It's the big problem when you have local perception. There are places where gaff top sail cats are becoming game fish type, and this is not one of them yet, but it should be. We've got some great big catfish. They're fun to catch. Got to be a little careful, take them off the hook. But they're awesome to catch. When you get them on, you got that. I don't care who it is I've been on a boat with, from the charter boat captains to the person who's never held a rod before. That first hit, and that catfish takes off, and that pull. I don't know, maybe it's a redfish, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. They're all excited. And then they feel that boom, 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 boom pulse to the rod, and they go, oh, it's catfish. And they get so deflated. I'm like, man, 3 seconds ago, you were just excited as heck.
Right.
Give it a break.
Well,
so, Bayshore Pier.
Okay.
Go ahead. And then we'll get back to the catfish.
Got nothing at Bayshore.
All right, then go to the catfish.
Well, Morris said it best just a second ago. This time of year, black drum are our kind of game fish.
It is.
So should be catfish. So should be ladyfish. We're so spoiled, and we've got these certain species that we put up on this pedestal that we forget that everything is seasonal here. So take advantage of what is actually truly available, abundant, and appreciate that for what it's worth.
Well, I can tell you that I think it's all a little bit ridiculous and a little bit fashion conscious, because I remember the days I was working here. This month is 34 years I've been working
here. In 4 days, to be exact.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here looking at this going, I remember when nobody would fish for a redfish. And
oh, yes.
Self-respecting anglers are not going to go out and fish for a saltwater carp. And that's what they were known as. They were known as a saltwater carp. They weren't good for anything. They were garbage fish. And this is in the 80s into the 90s, where it wasn't until later in the 90s that they became a thing. And the funniest part about it was the chef came out with black and redfish. The commercial guys went crazy catching redfish. And before you know it, they wiped them out. They were just about gone. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the recreational guy's going, well, hey, maybe I'd like to catch one of those. And by then, it was too late.
Right.
And so they closed it for a few years. And then they had it so when snook was open, redfish was closed. When redfish was open, snook was closed. So they bebop back and forth. And because the limits were bigger, they were higher limits, so they settled on the one fish a day limit and said, okay, we'll just leave it alone all year. But, you know, it... things didn't change much until the last few years when we started getting those November red tides. Mm-hmm. And that's when the population went down. All right. We are looking at the Port Charlotte Canal systems.
Lots of little peanut snook. Been a few bigger snook. Still some jacks coming through. A lot of small mangrove snapper. There's been quite a few sandburn being caught in every one of the canals. Every day somebody's coming in either describing the weird fish that they caught or showing us a picture on their phone that they caught. Which are great eating, fun little panfish. I mean,
absolutely,
basically it's a saltwater crappie. You know, and then the other one that they've been seeing quite a few of is a lot of juvenile tarpon with some black drum in East Spring Lake and over there off the Countryman Waterway. Mm-hmm. Some of the regular, just normal Port Charlotte canals also have been having them come through, but Spring Lake and Countryman has been kind of on the top this week.
Yeah, I actually stopped at Spring Lake, pulled off. I saw them rolling out there, and I stopped and just watched them for a little bit, watched the tarpon rolling out there. It was enough to, you could literally see, you know. Yeah, of course, trained eye, but, you know, I saw more than a few rolls.
Trained eye, eye of a hawk. So.
Well, it's still, now, I still go back to when I was first working in Europe, I could not read or write German. It took me weeks and months to be able to, you know, read different words and stuff in German language. And it's the same thing in saltwater. Reading what the waves are telling you and seeing that little wave go sideways to the other one, it's literally reading that language. And once you know it and you understand it, and then you have, you know, good vision. My vision isn't that great. It's like most of me. It's falling apart. But the...
my eyes are shot, but I recognize the differences, you know.
And that's all it is.
Some of those
learning to
subtleties.
Read the language.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no different than trying to learn to read.
No, I like that.
That's German awesome or Spanish or
awesome
whatever
description.
Yeah, you mentioned jacks too. There's another game fish.
Oh, nobody appreciates that.
Seriously,
fish.
If you've ever caught a 20-pound jack and a 20-pound snook. You know, neither one of them.
I'll take a 10-pound jack over a 20-pound snook.
They're both catch and release fish. You know,
right.
Unless you want to try to eat the jack, which some folks do, but that jack is going to probably outfight that 20-pound snook, a 20-pound jack.
You've got the snook is going to give you what that jack's going to give you for about 3 minutes,
and then he's done.
And then the fight is going to decrease down. You've got, you know, a pretty good fight, say 15 minutes with that big snook. You know, you've got that first initial bit, and then they really get into the fight, and then it just slowly tapering down. We're talking open water, okay? But you get that jack on, and if it's a 20-pound jack, that's 45 minutes to an hour I don't care what rod you have.
And he's going to dump most of your line off on that
and
first run.
Yeah, there, you're going to lose most of your line. You're going to be lucky if it's a smaller reel to have it survive. Either the gear stripped, the drag melted, you know, there's just no comparison.
I can't tell you how many customers I've had out fishing, and, you know, they get that first drag smoking run, dumps, you know, 3/4 of their line off, and they're all excited. Oh, it's a huge snook. I said, well, I don't think it is, but, you know, and then they get it up, and they, the first time, they're just totally amazed by the fight, and then when they see it's a jack, they go, oh, it's a doggone jack, or even worse language. And I said, yeah, you know, 2 minutes ago, you were just totally thrilled. Now you're disappointed?
I don't get it. I don't get it at all. You know, it kind of goes along with, this is the first social media red tide we've had.
Yeah, that's true.
This is the first social media event red tide. And so, because it's so much on social media, the news are reporting it more. And then, the more the people on social media talk about it, the more the media talks about it, the more it becomes catastrophic. Years ago, we had horrific red tides. These are just bad, but those were horrific. These guys are fighting over headphone cords and monitors. But there was no social media, so the news really didn't report it much. You didn't hear about it much. And, you know, it was like when I was up the oil spill at the Deepwater Horizon. Once the Obama administration came in and sprayed the water with that poisonous sinking agent to get the oil out of sight, put it on the bottom where the TV cameras couldn't see it, everything was fine. And so, out of sight, out of mind, that's the way it goes. But right now, it's in sight. People are out there doing Facebook stuff and Instagram and all this. They're all nuts. So, anyway, is it bad? Yes. Is it the end of the world? No. Is it bad? Yes. But this is not the worst one we've had. And that's sad to say. Elgibeen,
a lot of little snapper. Been some baby Goliaths there. Been a few snook, but mostly small. And then there's been a lot of juvenile tarpon in there first thing in the morning, right up along the bridges. You know, some of the guys have been jumping a few, but you're working at it. And then there's been a few jacks mixed in with those tarpon. Ladyfish have been moving in and out of there sporadically. They haven't been super concentrated right there, but definitely in the immediate area, there's been some good schools of them.
Yeah, get on out just a little bit, Hog Island out in that area, then you really got it going on there.
All right, exactly. Well, that's actually where we're at right now. We've got the Mica Cutoff, the river, places in that area that aren't Elgibeen.
Basically, Ladyfish are hopscotched all the way down from Elgibeen, mostly down towards the Hog Island to the mouth of the river, and they're in good little schools, and there's been some big tarpon mixed in with them sporadically. There's not schools of tarpon, but enough where if you're in that area, it's worth sticking around and hooking up a ladyfish and throwing it out and drifting around for a little while and waiting to see what happens.
Yeah.
A couple of small bull sharks mixed in there with them.
Yep.
And then there has been some pompano on the river side of Hog Island up on that big flat there. Not tons of them, but definitely fishable numbers, just kind of either blind cast or if you're running through on plane, watch behind you in your wake and watch for them to skip.
And when you do catch one up in there, he's usually a really good one.
Yeah. No, that's very true.
It is funny. The ones, if you catch pompano around Hog Island, they're actually a much better size than what you're going to find further down in the harbor. And it makes no sense because they would have to get there from further down in the harbor.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're a little stronger, more determined.
Certainly better looking fish. I mean, they're pretty in gold when they're up in there.
Oh my gosh, I love catching trout up there this time of year.
The trout are beautiful.
They look like a German brown.
Yeah, they almost look like, that's what I was going to say, a brown trout from out west.
Yeah, they're just amazing looking this time of year. First time I ever got to see that was with Frank at I-75 when he took me there one time. I mean, I caught one that was about 16 inches, but it was in like July, August, and just brilliant, beautiful fish.
A lot of coppers, a lot of browns. There's very little white left on them because the water has dyed them.
Yeah.
And so
look like a totally different fish.
Yeah, that's why we try and tell people, don't try and recognize fish by the color.
Yeah.
It's really hard if they have, you know, like a Jack Crevella, some distinctive white and yellow markings, but you're really shape IDing at that point. South Gulf Cove, what do we got there?
Mayan cichlids and some tilapia. Been a couple guys bass fishing back there, but I haven't gotten any feedback on that.
Bass fishing just never really has come back in there. They they left the locks open for so long there, and they it when the salt water intruded in there, it kind of ran the bass up in the canals, and you know they really didn't take to the brackish.
Remember when
water.
It was so weed choked and they went in and there was so many fish back there?
Yes.
Couldn't hardly run your prop through the water because
I used to guide back in there for bass.
And there was so much fish, and then they sprayed all those weeds, and when the weeds die, they suck the oxygen out of the water. Yes, the chemical that kills the weeds is technically not poison, but if all the oxygen leaves the water and the fish are dead, well, that's like saying, okay, I pushed over this rock, it fell and hit that log, the log jumped up and hit you in the head and killed you. It was the log's fault, not the guy who pushed the rock, which hit the log, which killed the guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're getting into that. You know, is it the gun fault or the guy that pointed it and shot you with it?
You know what I mean?
That same thing.
Yeah, so... You know, yeah, I just don't like them spraying the weeds. I wish.
No, I don't like that at all.
If they would go back to the simple combines, if they went into the canals in Cape Coral, simple combine rake, you know, it's a boat. It's got a thing on the front like a paddle wheel that pulls the stuff up, a conveyor that goes up, dumps it in a bin. They could take all that blue-green algae out, take it, put it on a truck, go dump it in a vacant field, let it dry, throw a little starter on it and burn the stuff. Can you imagine these morons? And I shouldn't say that because it's probably libelous, but whoever this person conceived of taking blue-green algae, doing something to it, and then deep injecting it into the ground?
Oh, that's really nice.
That means it's going to grow, and algae comes up.
Where does things that you deep inject into the ground wind up sometimes? Aquifer, perhaps?
Yeah. I can't even imagine somebody's even considering that. It's just, it's staggering to me that, okay, again, it falls to that moronic thing about out of sight, out of mind. And they're going to argue and say, oh no, this is the right way. No, you put it in the middle of a field, throw a little diesel fuel on it, once it dries out, poof, it's gone, you don't have to worry about it. You know. Alright, anyway, the west wall and the creeks.
Lots of redfish over
redfish
there along the bushes. Definitely. Scattered all on the bushes, even some out on the flats a little bit. Quite a few snook of assorted sizes, mostly small guys. Most of them, both the redfish and the snook, are mostly being caught on soft plastics, shrimp, and especially blue crabs. Blue crabs have been working amazing on the redfish, but the handful of snook have been picking them up too.
Yeah, they love blue crabs.
And then also out on the bar there, you've got ladyfish schools scattered up and down it. Been some bigger tarpon on the outside of those schools, and then there's been juvenile tarpon in the trough, basically between the mangroves and the flat. So you do have quite an assortment, along with some scattered pompano schools cruising up and down through there too. So West Wall would be
West
pretty
Wall's
much
a good bet to go to.
Absolutely, really, really safe area to fish, and lots of deep water, lots of good mangrove shoreline, nice, easy to navigate. You know.
Yeah, don't hesitate when you're in that area to throw the blue crab in there, and don't hesitate to keep a couple of those ladyfish and cut them up in little pieces and pop them up in there and let that scent work for you.
Yep. Cast and sit and wait.
Well, the big thing about it is, always keep in mind, boys and girls, ladyfish, yes, they are considered a bait fish, but that does not give you permission to waste them.
No.
Keep one or two. If you don't use it, freeze it up. Use it the next time. Keeping 6, 8, 10, 12, just so you can have a bunch of that stuff in your freezer, is bad, naughty, not good. A lot of other things, but I'm gonna hold with bad, naughty, and, you know, one or two for bait. If you need more, go catch another one. But let's use what we need, not what we want, okay? That's the key to keeping everything going, is need, not want. Okay, anyway, Cape Hayes, what's going on down there?
Pompano, some ladyfish. I've heard of a couple of bonnethead sharks out on it. And then the occasional Spanish mackerel. You know, kind of a little bit of a mixture going on out there.
All right, Mac. What
key
do you
there got? Is finding the bait. And when you find the glass minnow schools and things like that, then you're going to find the Spanish. There'll be some thread herrings in there as well. The red tide has kind of forced the thread herrings to either be right in the harbor, or, you know, they're the ones that are trying to go offshore are kind of getting caught in between things. And, you know, there were literally millions of dead threads all around Gasparilla Sound and everything this week and last week. Fresh deads.
Right. So what you're looking at here is the possibility of, if you can find bait, you're going to find schooling fish, and that's just a given. It seems like the ones that die in the red tide are the ones you get caught unaware, and then the dumber ones. And there always seem to be some that kind of go up to the edge of it and go, eh, I ain't doing this, and they turn around and they go back up the harbor, or they go out deeper in the Gulf. And, you know, it's not really that much different than people, because you have people that look at a flooded road. Some look and say, well, maybe I'll wait and see if it goes down. Some look at it, go, I can drive through that, and they go through and drown. And then you have the other ones who just turn around and go back home, and, you know, I'm not going to deal with this.
Yeah.
So, all right, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay. Now, Bull Bay, I've heard red tide. What about you guys?
It was clean yesterday from what I was told.
Yeah, Bull Bay is clean right now. Now, a week, 10 days ago, yeah, Widden Creek, Bull Bay, all in that area, you know, it was in there. It's just sketchy. You know, you'll find a patch of it drifting around inshore, and, you know, one day it's there, one day it's not. So, but, you know, I don't think you're going to lose any fish in Bull Bay. There's not going to be any fish kills now.
Well, with the river at 13 feet or 12 feet or whatever it is.
You got Widden's Creek dumping out, and, you know, sheet flow coming off
Gulf Cove.
Yeah.
You got all of Charlotte, Port Charlotte, the Myakka River, the Peace River, all the creeks, all dumping water in. I think there's too much fresh water in Turtle Bay to even consider getting red tide there.
Yeah. If I could have had a video camera yesterday, it was a perfect illustration of the red tide butting right up against the outgoing tide at Boca Grande Pass, and there was no red tide just inside that tide line. There was just horrible red tide outside of it where the water was green. The brown water, there were live bait in it.
And all I can tell people is they always complain. We had a woman go down to Port Charlotte Beach, and she said, I can't wait till this red tide's out of here. I said, well, there's no red tide at
That's
Port Charlotte
tannic.
Beach. She said, well, the water's all brown, looks red, and it doesn't smell good.
I
said, that's kind of the wonderful part of the water here. When it gets a little brown and red and it really doesn't smell good, it means I can afford to live here.
That's right.
If that was beautiful, blue, green, crystal clear water, I could not afford my house. I couldn't afford the taxes. I probably couldn't afford to drive through here. You know, because, I mean, look at how many of these places, they start off, we had locals living there, then the millionaires come in, pushed out the locals, then the billionaires came in and pushed out the millionaires. And we see that all over Florida. But as long as we have this wonderful brown water in the summer, and it just kind of gets a little funky smell to it, it kind of looks a little muddy and dirty, the billionaires ain't coming here. We got some millionaires, but the big money people, they really don't want to live here. You know, they buy a house and they come every once in a while, but, you know, it's not going to affect the tax rate. So, Cape Hayes, Danger Reef, I'd say red tide. What about you guys?
I'd say it's going to be a toss of the coin. It's worth stopping and checking out, but I haven't had any good reports off of it. So,
well, we're coming off of that full moon phase, so our tides are getting a little bit lesser now. So that's in the easterly winds with a little bit lesser tidal flow. Can really help us out a whole lot with that red tide.
Absolutely. It'll be a really good thing. We'll be curious to see what Monday, Tuesday brings.
Well, what we need, and I hate to say it, nobody ever wants to say this, we need a tropical storm to come over us.
In the right direction.
Nobody wants a hurricane, but we really could use a good tropical storm, anything up to a Cat 1. I'm hoping for just a nice tropical, slow-moving tropical storm, you know, 30, 40-mile-an-hour winds, 45-mile-an-hour winds, dumping huge amounts of rain, because as it comes up, if it comes up from the south, all that will blow, scatter, and destroy that red tide event. There'll be enough fresh water hitting the top of the Gulf. It's going to have a hard time with it. The waves, the wind, everything. That is our one best chance of cleaning out that coast. But it's going to have to come right up along the coast with that leading edge blowing everything out, and just really nice slow-moving tropical storm would really fix the west coast of Florida right now. People always think that they're the bad part, but they can also be the cure.
Absolutely. That, you know, helped shape our estuary, and yeah.
I mean, it sounds funny. I don't think anybody would ever think you'd say, geez, I'm praying for a tropical storm. But that'd be the one thing to help us get all this cleaned up. It would really make a big difference everywhere.
There's a reason the mangroves bloom and throw seeds this time of year.
Yeah, the storms will throw them around. All right, that's going to take us out to Gasparilla Sound. Any good reports yet? Now, Morris, you've been fishing out there. What's up?
I haven't fished in the Sound, and here's the this. This will pretty much tell you how overblown this is and everything. There was not a single boat in the outer harbor all the way down to Boquilla, Pine Island, or in Gasparilla Sound yesterday when we went out in the morning. And I didn't see a boat when we came in. There was, you know, this is going out Boca Grand Pass. Did not see a single boat out. Not a people touring, not anyone fishing. And there are live fish to be had in all those areas. And yeah, there's red tide. You'll have to work around it, and some of the areas don't smell so good. But you know, it hasn't killed everything.
Well, you were out there sitting the other day, and you're working there on a canal on Gasparilla Island, and you're actually seeing snook and stuff swim by you.
That's true. Yeah.
So everything's not dead, but it's a good idea. Do not catch and release in these areas, and do not fish in them, because wherever you're fishing in these areas, you are going to kill the fish. So yes. Best just stay away from it for a while. Robert, any thoughts on Gasparilla?
No, that's about what I've been hearing. It's just mixed hodgepodge.
That's going to take us up to Placida. I don't know what I got there.
Same situation. Little Gasparilla Pass is inundated with the red tide. And a lot of dead fish. A lot of floaters, fresh floaters all week. Saw everything from 35-pound class tarpon to, you know, pinfish and white bait and thread herrings.
Lemon Bay.
Same scenario, to be honest.
Yeah, my reports from up there the same.
Just hodgepodge.
Okay. Let's see. I was just looking here in Lemon Bay. In July, we had some hit or miss red tide. We did a report 7/14. That wasn't too bad, but on 6/23, 6/20 was okay. 6/29, we had red tide there, and it's just kind of funny when I go over some of these old fishing reports, you know, to see what was going on then. And I keep all those archived on their own pages, so you can actually go back and see what was being done. You just go back, you can listen to the old fishing reports or read the old fishing reports. Every one of these has a fishing history thing. How about the Anger Pier?
Honestly, nothing. It's been that red tide scenario, so pretty dismal at best.
Okay. This is where I've got to actually get set to do some typing.
Yes, because this is where the man is going to come in super handy before he has to run.
Yeah, he's got to leave here in about 5 minutes. So, go ahead.
Gulf of Mexico.
Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, I mean, I just figured you'd get it because you are the Gulf master. I mean, there's few people better. So,
well,
distance.
Yeah, we spent the day out in the Gulf of Mexico.
Distance yesterday. And species would help.
You're going to encounter nice live fish from, I would say, safely 10 miles out in the Gulf, as far out as you care to go. You could target any species that you would normally fish for out there this time of year. Snapper, grouper, amberjacks, king mackerel.
Now, you were
there.
Telling me about out in 100 feet of water, you were getting like 20-inch
porgies? We were getting 20-inch plus porgies in many of them. We were using live shrimp, I actually caught some on gulp shrimp. We caught some on just hair jigs. They were really schooled up. They were not spawning. None of them had any spawn in them. But just a large concentration of porgies. But we were also catching yellowtails, mangrove snapper, even the endangered red snapper. We caught quite a few of those in 100 feet of water. You know, there are plenty of those out there. They're not endangered, but still follow the laws, no matter how tempting it may be. And yeah, we had grouper, red, gag, amberjacks, king mackerel. That was basically a potpourri. We had, you know, big old Yeti cooler
full of fish. How close do you think you could find the grouper?
This time of year, I would look anywhere from 65 feet to out as far as you want. If you're looking at ledges, you're going to be targeting gag grouper, perhaps a lot more than red. If you're looking at the honeycomb Swiss cheese looking bottom this time of year, looking 68 to 72, 74 feet. Anytime the depth sounder drops off just a tiny bit and you mark just a little bit of stuff on the bottom, you should go back and look at that.
Now, Robert, are we catching any kind of permit or cobia or something that kings or something runs around?
I've been hearing of the permit from 10 to 20 miles, an occasional cobia coming by, and at 20 to 40 miles, I've been hearing still quite a few guys having little small dolphin coming by from 15 inches all the way up to like 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm. So this is dolphin season in the Gulf of Mexico, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, contrary to what most people believe.
Has been for many years.
I think the reason why we're noticing such an increase in that is because
we had a guy chew us out on the internet because we are horrible, we suck, we don't know anything. Because he was in here and he wanted to do a mahi-mahi trip out in the Gulf of Mexico. And the guys are telling him, man, if you want to go out and do a grouper trip, that you're probably going to do that. That's going to be great. Well, I've seen all the reports, and there's mahi-mahi, and you just don't want me to do that. No, no, no. You guys suck. You're horrible. I said, you're right, and we are, but we can't help it. The chances of actually going out on a charter and having a successful mahi-mahi trip, pretty slim. Chances of going out having a good for night. We're not talking about you, Morris. Every other person on the planet but you. Alright, I know you can go out and catch the mahi, no doubt. But to actually go out, when you go out to target a fish like that, it's really hard to make it happen. If you're out there grouper fishing, you get about a 50-50 shot of having a ton of mahi just come up around the boat. But if it was me, I'm not going to pay $1,000 for a charter on a 50-50, maybe they're going to show up. That to me doesn't seem like a realistic aspect. If you go out with the idea of, okay, I'm going to go out and catch a bunch of grouper, snapper, I'm going to have a really bunch of nice eating, and then if the mahi show up, it's going to be awesome, even more awesome. But to go out and say, I want to catch mahi, heck, they do it down the Keys, and I would say on the average day, 2 out of 10 boats have good days. There's 2,000 boats going on a good average day, but, you know, here, I don't think the odds are that good for... How many captains do you know can go out and actually target mahi?
If they would actually go out and target mahi in the correct manner, just like you do in the Keys, they would catch mahi.
Yeah, but how many captains? You know a lot of them.
How many of them?
Tell me how many
are
capable
of doing
that.
A handful. Just maybe two or
three. And that's not all the time.
But we consistently go out here, and the consistent... The whole trick to finding mahi-mahi anywhere in the world is going and finding the sargasso weed or some objects that are floating in the water.
And which for here is what? Realistically, you don't start running into the sargasso.
Yesterday it was in 65 feet of water. There was really nice blue water in 90 feet of water with heavy sargasso.
But on an average day?
120 feet this time of year.
40, 45 miles?
Yes.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing is that most of the captains around here don't have a vessel that's capable of running out that far.
And if they go out to fish, they need the permits to fish out there too. So.
Right. That's the hardest part is finding somebody who can do it legally, safely, and realistically.
Yeah. Fortunately, I've been blessed to have the vehicle
all of the
to
above.
Do that. And
all of the above.
You know, I get to go out there, and when my folks say, yeah, we'd really like to cook it dolphin, We did. When I was charter fishing, I actually had the 41-foot Merit Sport fish, and this time of year, I stayed busy. August, September, October, every year, I stayed really busy because I was running out there, and I was running dolphin, tuna, wahoo,
but
and sail.
There's you, Dwayne French, Dan's pretty good, but he doesn't really like to go after that kind of stuff.
No, he likes the bottom
fish. He wants the bottom fish. So Dan, while he could do it, probably isn't going to. So, you know, outside of a couple people I can think of, there is nobody. So I'm actually, I believe, still correct on that, because I told him, I says, sorry.
By default. They're out there. You just got to get off your butts and go do it.
All right, speaking of getting off your butt and go doing it, you've got somebody to pick up who's going to hate me if you don't leave.
That's right, boys
and girls.
Thank you, Morris.
Oh, thank you, Robert. Okay, I'm awake now. Hey, Morris, thanks again, buddy.
All right, guys, thank you.
All right, Robert, that puts us into the passes. Venice Red Tide.
Red Tide.
Little Stump Pass Red Tide. Little Gasparilla Red Tide. Boca.
Boca's clear.
Boca's clear today?
Boca's clear.
Today.
Five thread herring. Enormous schools of them all in Boca.
Okay, so today Boca Grande is clear, but I'm just going to kind of put question marks.
I'm going to
do question marks.
I think most of them are question marks because, I mean, it has been sporadic reports because some of the guys that have been drifting through Captiva, Boca, and even Redfish have been fishing right on the bottom and catching some mangrove snapper, but then coming back either a couple hours later after venturing off to do other fishing and then finding that they couldn't stand it because of the red tide that had moved in. Or it's just right on the surface and there's bottom fish down there. It's just a matter of how you can tolerate it and who you're talking to. It's at least worth, like you said, taking the drive out there, looking, seeing if it's okay, but having in the back of your mind plan B and plan C. Just don't go there and think you're going to put up a mailbox.
Yeah, the best idea is, okay, if you go out to one of the passes, sit there for a minute, see how you're breathing, if you're okay. Now, that goes along with what I'm trying to tell people. If you've never been around red tide, absolutely do not go out to the Gulf and go swimming, but drive to the beach, open the window, sit in your car, breathe for a bit, go out. But now, if the wind is blowing from the east, it's blowing the red tide away from you. You won't smell it, you won't breathe it, you go right down to the water. You'd have to get within inches of the water to have it affecting you. If the wind is coming out of the west, you're going to get it while you're sitting in the car. But you should experience that scratchy throat, that dry cough. You should experience all that. When you get in your car, you're going to drive away. In a few minutes, you're going to be fine.
Right.
But if you don't know what it is and you've never experienced it, then you're out on the water and you're like, wow, I don't know. What the heck is this? And it gives you that much more experience. And I think some of the bad things in life should be experienced with as much relish as some of the good things in life. I think I'm just, to me, a lot of this stuff just fascinating. I think it's awesome just to go out and check it out. But I'm a whack job, and we've already said I've got, you know, intellect problems. So who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. All right, walk in the Gulf. I'm just going to put possible red tide.
Right. No, and I agree with you. I mean, it's something that everyone should experience to have a better idea on it. And also quit taking, you know, this social media event that you've talked about to heart. Go out there and experience it for yourself. Get a first-hand account of really what is truly going on out there. You know, that way you can make your own decision without being a puppet.
Perfect example. Do you remember when the eclipse happened? I went down and bought the welding helmet,
yeah.
Right? I mean, I'm in. I'm all in. I went down, I bought a welding helmet. It had the flip different stuff on it. It was really cool. I paid about $40 for it. Got in on sale. Awesome welding helmet. And so we're out front. We're all sitting there with the helmet on. And there's this kid over at Soundworks where they're doing the music stuff and all that. I said, man, have you seen the eclipse? Oh, I'm looking at it on my phone right here. He's literally standing in the building looking at the eclipse on his phone because that's how he wanted it. He thought he should experience. I grabbed him by the arm. I said, no, you're coming with me. Went outside, put the welding hood on him, and made him look up. And he couldn't even figure out where the sun was.
Right.
I mean, literally, he's looking at his feet, at his knees, at the building. I said, no, the sun is up there. Tip your head back. Oh, wow. he just freaked. He just couldn't believe it. He was literally looking at the eclipse.
Right.
He was just so excited about it. But it literally took me to physically take him out of the store and get him out there and put the welding helmet on him and make him look.
Right.
And then he was just super excited. He right. was just, you know.
And then later on in life, he'll be able to say, I actually got to see that in person rather than looking at it on the internet. Wow. I got to experience something in real life.
And it was staggering how many people, they felt like they were too cool to put on the welding helmet and look. And I mean, I paid $40, stood out there in the parking lot and offered everybody
who was
coming in.
Walking in the door, on them.
I had people drive by, saw what we were doing, pull into the parking lot, stop, go look through the helmet. I'll bet you there was 100, 150 people who all enjoyed that $40 welding helmet
at
I bought.
At least, absolutely.
You know, and we had a ball with it. And then we have a friend who's a welder who does us favors. I just went down and gave him the welding helmet.
Right.
Because
so it got multiple uses.
It didn't go to waste. You know, I just went down to the welding shop. So here you go, Todd. You know, thanks for, you know, he's built these carts and he builds all these. If I can come up with a crazy idea, Todd can build it.
Yep, pretty much. And if it's metal of any kind, he'll work it out for you.
He'll figure it out. Because I come up with, you can't even imagine.
He built my gates.
Yeah. Your gates, my barges, all the stuff. Yeah. So anyway, Punarasa, Sanibel, what do we got?
Actually, Red Tide's moved in down there quite a bit, you know, from what I've been hearing from several people.
Yeah.
And this is not just captains that I go by. Usually these are reports from our shrimpers and even calling some of the bait shops down there to get a little bit better verification of what's going on, so... We're trying to stay on top of it as open and as honest as possible without doing that social media junk, because I only believe about 10% of what I see on there. And that's because it's usually somebody that I actually trust with my life, which is only about two or three people that I follow on there that I do.
All right. The only thing I'm worth saying is the Red Tide bad? Yes. Is it the worst we've ever seen? Not even close. Is the world coming to an end? I doubt it. Now, check your watch. About 3 minutes, we could all be dead.
Mm-hmm. It could be.
But, you know, for right now, I think we're all okay.
Yeah.
And is this bad? Yes. Is it going to end fishing? Is it going to end all this stuff? No. We've seen it much worse. The only difference is there was no social media to tell people about it. So,
right.
Anyway, Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey is actually very safe. Redfish are doing real good down there by the Indian fields. There has been some juvenile tarpon scattered out there on those flats and some of those bays. Right there off of Matt Lachey itself, a lot of little mangrove snapper, an occasional holy weird sheep's head. I've heard of a few snook being caught off of it, a couple of small baby bull sharks. And then all throughout that whole area, still some trout, a few redfish in the bays. Look for some of the deeper grass, some of your deeper potholes. Shrimp, cut bait, soft plastic, stuff that you can either work totally dead still or very, very slow.
It's just weird. Thing. That whole area behind Pine Island from Matt Lachey down to the Coosatchee, up into Charlotte Harbor, there's so much fresh water coming from the Peace River, the Myack River from the north, the Coosatchee from the south. It pushes all that fresh water up behind that island, and the Red Tide cannot get there. It cannot compress that fresh water enough to actually get there to kill anything or to harm anything. And so the fishing there around Matt Lachey and all that is actually very good right now. Go down. There's a bait shop down there with D&D. They're nice folks. We have a bait tackle store right at the end of Pine Island Road in US 41. Go down there. The area around Matt Lachey is great right now. There's no reason not to go there. Go down to some of the restaurants. There's no Red Tide. You're not coughing. You know, visit some of the restaurants. Check out Pine Island. Awesome folks there. They got some really cool shops all over the island. So, you know, they're paying a heavy price for social media propaganda. And so if you've never gone down there, you know, go there. Take a trip over to Okeechobee. See for yourself. I consider Okeechobee to be one of the jewels of Florida. I think it's an awesome place. It's an awesome fishery. I love going to Okeechobee. I love going fishing there. I think it's like nowhere else on the planet. And take a trip to Okeechobee and see for yourself what everybody's talking about. Don't take anybody's word for it. Drive over, spend the day. You go. You can go down to. You go over to Clewiston. You go up to what is that port? I was going to say it, and I got blocked. Where we always go on the side.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it, to be honest.
It's on the west side. Something Port, right?
No.
No.
Yeah, oh, I don't know.
I know. I was just, when I was going to say it, I looked up, and
St. Lucie is on the other side. That's
right.
Where it comes
Port St. Lucie is on the other side, but this is, oh, God, why can't I think of it? Because it's north of the Monkey Box. It's over by the, oh, God, it's on the Rim Canal. It's where we always went with David.
I
have fished there 100 times.
Oh, so. Yeah, okay. No, I don't remember the name of it, but
it's on the. You got to go. It's on this side of the lake.
There's not many towns. Drive to up from. There. Just drive over there and go check it out.
And drive down to the water, cast a lure for a while, enjoy it. You're gonna love Okeechobee. It's not poisoned. It's not horrible. It's a wonderful place. You know how sad it is it for some of those bait shops and the tackle shops, and the hotels, the restaurants, all these people that during the winter they get a lot of tourists, and the summer it's a little tough anyway, and this year people are going around saying the lake is poisoned.
Yeah,
my God, how horrible is that of them? It's just not right. They've got amazing stuff in Okeechobee.
Don't worry, 2 years from now everyone around here is gonna, all these captains are gonna be hurting because they cut their nose despite their face on this one. It's going to be the equivalent of what they did to Boca Grande.
So here's a good rule of thumb. If a captain is saying, don't come to Florida, that Okeechobee's poison and all that, take him at his word. Don't hire him.
Right.
He does not want the business. He does not want the people coming here. So do not hire that person. That's a simple good rule of faith. We're telling you, our things, they're not as good as they could be.
No.
But we have some great spots. We have the Upper Harbor.
There's
We've got
so
the Gulf
many
of Mexico.
Safe areas to go.
God, I can't get that up. I'm gonna have to put this on pause and look it up. All right, I'm going to pause. You won't notice this. All right, it was making me too nuts. I put it on pause. I went over, got up the lake. It's Lakeport. 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 Moorhaven. Clewiston. Shawnee. Up above there, a little further in the lake, you got Okeechobee City, you got Taylor Creek, you got Buckhead Ridge. There is so many cool places to go over in Okeechobee. I know a lot of those people over there. I've met them. I've shook hands with them. They're awesome people. The fishing is good. Have some fun. Go to Lake Okeechobee. Now, my favorite place and where I've gone, I would say 8 out of 10 trips is to Lakeport. There's really not much there. There's like a convenience store with some tackle and bait, and then there's a hotel. They got a restaurant there. There's not much in Lakeport.
No.
I mean, it's literally, you know, blink, oh, I'm through it. But awesome folks, and, you know, the world is, they're great. All right. So anyway, where we're at, Pine Island Sound. I'm going to put Red Tide.
Yep. Unfortunately.
All right. Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla.
Kind of the same thing, except for the east side of Boquilla is still clean and clear.
It's been okay because all the fresh water coming down the river has kind of kept the red tide at bay from them.
Yeah.
There's been some Spanish over there.
There's been Spanish. There's been threadies. There's been tarpon. There's been some pompano, but most of it's from the Boquilla fishing pier east. That's where I've been getting most of my reports from. I mean, not saying that it's not clear all the way around over getting closer towards Jug Creek, but definitely from the Boquilla Pier this way has been pretty steady at catching fish.
Okay. The way I summed it up here was, some Spanish. Let's see. The pier... Okay, from the pier. That's why I was trying to relook at it. I was trying to type fast. From the pier to the east is good.
Yeah, that's good. That's perfect.
And then the western side has been iffy. Yep. So that word is iffy when you're reading this. Okay. All right. what I like about our customers is they translate this into a readable thing. They do call me and email me questions every once in a while. What the heck did you mean by that? Okay, Burnstar Two Pines, been actually pretty good.
Yeah. A lot of pompano crews in the bar there. Been some redfish and snook on the mangrove shoreline there. The tarpon have been out there sporadically out there in that 8 to 15 feet of water. And that's about all I've got. You know, there's been a few schools of ladyfish down there, but not a lot. But the threadies have been around there, and that's why those tarpon are kind of hanging around still. And making everybody crazy because they're there and then they're gone and then they're there again and then they're gone. They're, it's kind of funny when you got some of the best tarpon fishermen around getting flustered with those fish because they aren't patterning themselves. They're there and guys are catching them. There's just not the pattern.
Okay. And that's going to take us up to the east side of the harbor. What's going on the east side?
Pompano, basically from Two Pines all the way up to probably about a mile above Pirate Harbor. I've been here in Pompano. Been a few tarpon on the outside edge of the bar with an occasional cobia. Most of the cobia that I've heard about that either the guys have hooked or seen have been small, but they're still at least around. Been a couple of juvenile bull sharks, some schools of ladyfish. And then over on the flats there, just from Pirate Harbor North, there's been some redfish, quite a few catch and release snook. And it's the same scenario as the West Wall. Crabs are king right now, along with shrimp, both live and frozen. And any type of soft plastics that can work very, very slow, preferably with scent on them. Either work it dead stick in it or just work it super, super slow. Pirate Harbor's also had a lot of juvenile tarpon inside there too, so if you get frustrated looking for the bigger ones, you can move inside to Pirate Harbor and start throwing some little like the DOA Terrorize, the small storms, and then some of the fly guys have been going in there and putting a few around.
I'm going to make sure that if they read this, they're not going to get that information. They're going to have to listen to Radio Fishing to understand it, because I'm just putting tarpon in the canals. I'm not saying it's the smaller ones. So they're going to go in there with the big lures and the big stuff. They're never going to hit anything. They're going to see them roll. It's going to make them nuts.
That's good.
And they're not going to know to drop down the little tiny stuff like the Terrorize and the tiny Terrorize. And they'll hook up these fish, catch them, and have a blast. All they're going to see is there's tarpon in there, and they're going to go in there, big, great, big, giant stuff, and they're never going to catch fish.
Nope, just scratch your head and leave mad.
So that's just our way of having fun and, you know, getting people, like, listen to the actual report. You know, read it, listen to it, however you want to do it. But I'm old, and the only fun I have is this. So, you know, sorry, that's the way it goes. All right, let's see, Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek, I have not gotten anything inside the creek. Everything's been right at the mouth. A couple of redfish, a couple of black drum, and a couple of jacks. And the redfish have been right there at the mouth of the creek to going up into the skating rink area. And it's the same scenario. Crabs are king in there.
Yeah, every few years the bait kind of changes around a lot. Remember a few years ago, if you didn't have white bait, you really were behind on catching fish.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden in the last couple of years, that's gotten less and less and less.
I think it's because there's been less and less white bait, so the fish are learning how to go back to feeding on some of the stuff that's more consistent.
Yeah, they're not sitting there waiting for guys to throw handfuls upon handfuls upon handfuls out to them, you know.
They're going back to their old, actually, hey, I got to go back to my instinct. This is what I usually eat on this time of year. Nobody's going to come over here and throw me a buffet.
Yeah.
Here's an all-you-can-eat white bait. Dee-dee-dee, I don't have to move. Woohoo! Hey, right. It's 2 o'clock. Fred will be coming by. Hey, it's 1 o'clock. Fred will be coming by. Hey, George will be here in about 15 minutes.
Look at, they're bringing dinner. All right. Ponce de Leon Park.
Black drum, assortment of mangrove snapper, mostly on the small side. A couple guys did catch some sand bream this week. And then jacks have been kind of moving in and out of there. Other than that, most of the people have been kind of avoiding it because the no-see-ums, I guess, this past week were horrific. In the mornings, a couple guys that are regulars out there, they said, I had to take a couple days off. The no-see-ums were just wrecking me, and they were staying out until after the sun was above the mangroves.
Wow.
That's why they had to back off. So, I thought that was pretty interesting to hear, because normally once that sun comes up and just touches the tops of the mangroves, those no-see-ums go right into the bushes and you're good. So, I don't want to go down there and do that.
Oh, I can remember. You know that story I tell about Norm? Where I'm out, I've got a little boat. Norm doesn't have a boat at the time. He wants to go out and find some big fish. So I've got a blanket down, a sheet down on the back deck of the boat. He's sitting in the front of the boat, and I'm there. I've got a sheet over the top of me. It's sort of wintertime, but it's I would say it was warm. Probably around late October, early November, so it's still, it's not super hot, but it's not cold out yet. And we're anchored up in the Ponce Channel late at night. He's got his big chunks, or his big mullet out, big ladyfish on another one. He's got a whole mullet, probably weighed 2 or 3 pounds on this one line. And all of a sudden, you know, and I'm looking, and I peek through. I've got the blankets over the top of me because the bugs are so bad. I got bug spray all over me. I'm laying on a sheet with another blanket over me because the sheet, they would bite through.
Yep.
So the mosquitoes could get through it. So I would just kind of crack it open a little bit and look up, and all I'd see is a silhouette of Norm in this dark silhouette with this cloud of no-see-ums around and his cigarette going, looking like a bug zapper. Little no-see-ums melting in the end of his cigarette. They were just so thick around him. You doing all right, Norm? Yeah. It's good night. I mean, oblivious. I don't know how the heck he could do it.
They didn't bother him.
No, he never cared.
Nope.
All right.
Hence the reason why he was always successful at catching some of those really large fish.
Yeah, you got to be double tough. I got bug spray on. I'm underneath blankets.
And you're pretty tough, so when it
curled up
to
in the bottom
like
of a boat. Oh, I wish I was, but man, I've had no-see-ums run me out of a boat in the Mayaca Cutoff, where I go underwater. I'm laying underwater, and I come up and breathe, and go down and hold my breath, because they would just get in your hair, and no, I'm not tough with that at all.
No, I don't like them at all.
Okay, PGI, the canals, what's up?
There's been some good reports of some really big snook for some of the late night fishermen going in there. I mean, late night, like midnight and later. They've also been getting some juvenile tarpon throughout the daytime. Lots of big black drum and like 40-pound black drum. And then the mangrove snapper and sand brim. It's kind of been the main thing going through there. There's been an occasional ladyfish. I've heard of a couple of redfish, but no consistency to those. Just accidental happy bycatch. But they're having a blast, and they're catching them all on small shrimp. That's the most awesome part, because they're coming in. Some of our regulars are used to it now. And some of the new people that are new to the area are just, I don't care. That's fine. They're small. I'm still catching fish and having a blast.
Yeah, this is a time of year where the guy's going to come in, he's going to be really unhappy because he got these small fish or these small shrimp. But if they buy the right size hook, if they're real small, get a number 6 or a number 4. If they're a little bigger, maybe a number 2 hook. Match up the hook size to them, drop down to about a 15, 20-pound test leader, and throw these little tiny shrimp freeline around the docks and the edges. I was doing a charter with a guy, and I was giving him all the big shrimp because we didn't have hardly any. It was winter time, and he's throwing those up against the seawalls there in PGI. We're right on the corner of this one seawall. There's usually a lot of nice fish there. And I get one big redfish. Now, I'm throwing shrimp that are barely 2 inches long. I mean, they're little. They're peewees. I got a number 6, 37-140 Mustad, a little wide gap hook on, mm-hmm. Little number 6. And I'm throwing over the free line against the seawall. I catch the first redfish. I catch a, I caught another nice snapper. And he still hasn't caught anything. He's got a few little bites and stuff. But so finally, I switch him over to the little tiny redfish. And, well, we could have looked, Josh. Josh is here trying to take pictures of
he
us.
He likes the deer in the headlights.
He likes the deer. So, anyway. It turned out, I ended up giving him the rod with the little tiny shrimp and the little hook, and he just caught fish after fish after fish. I was fishing the big ones trying to find a big fish, and I actually never did. Gilcrest Pier.
Gilcrest Pier, I've gotten nothing.
Okay. All right, Alligator Creek Reef.
Alligator Creek Reef. There has been some mangrove snapper being caught off of it, an occasional Spanish mackerel, and there has been some tarpon on it. But other than that, it's been actually kind of quiet.
And what was the last one? Tarpon?
Yeah. Yeah, this time of year, those tarpon will leave the 20-foot hole or the west wall, especially in the afternoons, and they head over to that east side. And sometimes they'll stop and hang out on that reef overnight. So when you get there first thing in the morning at first light, you'll find them there on the reef or over kind of in that little L
that
shape.
That whole corner there.
That whole corner, yeah, going around Alligator Creek over towards Whore Point.
All right. Now, what about the deep holes in the harbor?
A few tarpon, some catfish, and an occasional bull shark. Weird part is no black nose, no Atlantic sharp nose. No lemons. I haven't heard of any lemons in the last month. You know, and August traditionally, late July and August is like the month of lemon sharks of
yeah,
good size.
And August is always a lemon shark month.
Yeah, and I don't know if that red tide has created an invisible fence and kept them offshore. You know, they escaped while they could or what the deal is, but nothing. It's kind of weird.
All right, the bait report's going to be easy. So, questions, yeah. Okay. Now we're getting into the red tide. Let's see. I add that on here. I'm just going to get to my email. All right, email program's coming up. And I just saw it, red tide. Okay. Background concentrations, Pinellas County, Manatee County background concentrations, high concentrations in Sarasota County, high concentration Charlotte County, high concentrations Lee County, high concentrations Collier County. Fish kills all over Southwest Florida, Charlotte County. Now, almost all these are saying the fish kills are offshore in the Gulf. Very little of it being reported inside at this time. So, yeah, it's pretty much...
And a lot of people don't realize west winds coming off of a full moon, strong tides, these fish, most of these fish are dying offshore and getting blown in. So there's, you know, I'm seeing photographs where it's like the entire mouth of a canal or an entire shoreline is littered with fish. Well, those fish got blown in, most of them. You know, some of them did die right there, but a lot of them are just floating in. And like anything else, you usually will see that time of year. You're only seeing the dead fish this time of year in that particular canal, but that basin is always notorious for filling up with garbage at other times of the year because of the wind and the tide. And you don't see that because it's not life. You know,
right?
You know, those spots where you're seeing those concentrations always have a concentration of something that's not good for the environment.
All right, so what's going on with freshwater?
Bass fishing has still been dominating. I haven't had much for bluegill or crappie or anything else, but bass fishing, lots of shiners. You know, shiner guys are fishing them both under a bobber and still using a sinker and getting them down a little bit deeper and having both successes lately. A lot of the spill dams along Hillsborough, along Nine Mile Canal, still getting a couple reports occasionally out there in the Rotunda area. Handful of guys, you know, deer season opened last week, I think it was. So the guys out at the Webb have been fishing during the middle of the day while, you know, hunting in the early mornings and the right. evenings and catching a few bass and some bullheads. They've been actually catching some big bullheads out of there on their shiners. So that's always a pleasant bycatch.
Okay.
And then the King's Highway ponds, a few bass have been being caught out of there too. And most of those guys are catching those on either the little frogs or the small lizards, the zoom lizard.
Man, did you see guys with the picture of all the big frogs he caught for dinner?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the big bullfrog.
Yeah, amazing. You know, the frog thing right now is huge.
Yeah.
So a lot of frogs getting hit.
A lot of them need wheelchairs right now.
Yeah. A lot of frogs need wheelchairs right now. Okay.
It's wrong, but it's funny.
Yeah, I get it. Okay. Anyway, to do the tarpon map here, let me bring this thing up here. All right, tarpon. All right, I got it here. Let me just add the date, and then we can get on to the report. 8/4/18. All right, the date's on. Now, getting the marker together here. All right, where do we do red dots?
Two Pines.
Two Pines.
Cape Hayes, more on this side.
Right.
The west wall from the halfway point up to the Myakka.
Gotcha.
And then the 20-foot holes.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to angle that kind of down around... just kind of diamonding off that east side section, because I'm going to add some yellow dots in the middle of it, but there's been so much along that area by Pirate Harbor and all that outside the bar that I really want to, you know, connect that whole east side thing to, you know.
Right.
Not much in Boca. Anything out in the Gulf?
Nope.
How about down in by Sanibel or anything?
Nothing.
All right, so that's basically your tarpon map, right?
Pretty much. There's been like a 50-50 at the 41 bridge and at the El Jobin bridge.
All right. Well, I can do that. I got yellow dots here. Okay. I do a white dot up on the river way up there. Okay, so I'll save that, get that up. To save it, right? So otherwise I lose the thing. Okay, that's saved. I'll load that up on the thing. And I guess that brings us to the end of this fishing report. Anything else you want to throw in?
No, just try to, you know, remain as positive about this whole thing and go out and experience the stuff for yourself rather than taking it at face value from other people.
Yeah, and we're going against everybody, and we're saying everybody else is wrong and we're right. All we're doing is holding the middle of the road. You know, we've seen enough, been through enough. Is this good? No. Is this bad? Yes. Is this the worst we've ever had? No. But it is the most social media red tide event we've ever had.
I think the other thing that, you know, is it the worst we've ever had? No. But is it more widespread than we've seen in a long time? It ranks right up there. So I think that's part of it also. But we definitely want to just remind everybody that, you know, you can come into the harbor and catch plenty of fish. I mean, right. Is it absolutely amazing fishing? No. It's August fishing. It's good to not bad.
Yeah, that's it's normal. Not bad to
that's,
good.
That's normal August. That's the way it Every always year. Is.
You and know, so would I get in the water right now? Absolutely not. Does it have anything to do with the red tide or the blue-green algae? Absolutely not.
It has to do with it being 92 to 94 degree temperature.
It has to do with the heat. The closer the salt water is to your body temperature, the more in common your bloodstream and the water have. And bacteria that would be living in the water find a very easy transition into your body.
Yep.
Now, once the water gets below 85, yeah, I'll go back wading. But 85 is my cutoff. I like water below 80 degrees to go wading. That puts a big difference between my 96 degree blood temperature, which is salt water, and the salt water in the harbor. But yep. Right now you get a lot of fresh water, but at those higher temperatures, it's very easy for bacteria to want to attach to humans because it's not a very much of a temperature change.
Right.
It's much better. I don't care. I don't go in fresh water. I don't go in salt water. I don't go in those kind of things, period, when the water's over 85. Don't happen. But once that water temperature drops down, sure, I'll go back wading. Is there any red tide to be worried about? No. Is there blue-green algae up in the upper harbor? No. Is it unfortunate Cape Coral's going through this? God, I feel so bad for those people. But, you know, it's just one of these things. But let's put everything in perspective and say, you know what? I'd still rather live here than almost any place I've ever been. I've been over a lot of North America. I've been over most of Europe. I've been through a lot of Central America. you know, and Canada's an amazing place, and I love visiting there. Don't want to live there? Sorry, guys. Love y'all, but, you know, sorry. It's all yours. No, because July, they got mosquitoes up there. They're like the size of saucers.
And black flies.
And the black flies. And, no, I mean, I Canadians are awesome. You know, most of them I've ever met have been really great people. And the people we know from Alaska, man, love them to death. But you guys can have that. It's big, giant bugs that pick you up and carry you off in the summer, and it's colder than Hades in the winter. No, I like Southwest Florida. But, boy, we could sure use a tropical storm bound
now.
Yes,
we could.
So, anyway, boys and girls, Fish and Frank here. And Robert in the chair across from me. Can't think of anything else, can you?
No, not really. I think we've said enough.
So, probably more than anybody wanted to hear.
Probably.
I would guess.
We can be long-winded at times, but we usually have a good point.
Actually, we did. Yeah, we were pretty bad today. That's an hour and 21 minutes.
We've been longer-winded.
Yeah, we've done over 2 hours. So, hey, what the heck. But we're having fun. And yeah, the rumors are true. Right now it's 50-50 if we're going to double the size of Fish and Frank's. The store will remain looking like it is, but we're going to be adding a lot of extra room. So next time you come, look for the hole in the wall.
Right.
So see you, boys. Bye, and girls.